Hey everyone, welcome back to the last division here on the Dynasty Team Preview Series here on South Harmon. I am Eric Vanek, and you can follow me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL, and I'm joined by Koopa. So Koopa, we've made it to the last division. We've done this for 8 weeks in a row now. We're on to the NFC West, and we got the Arizona Cardinals today. So what's going on, Koopa? Anything good going on in your world over there?
Not too much exciting stuff, minus, my podcast still coming out. You can check that out on Saturdays on the same podcast feed.
Absolutely.
I don't know what it's going to be, I guess, the upcoming week, but you will have just listened to a podcast on, if you go back to Saturday, you will have listened to one that is on stacking. So I'm investigating stacking in dynasty leagues because, you know, that's all the stuff in best ball right now is all about stacking for the playoffs and things like that. Well, how does that work in your dynasty leagues when you're doing head-to-head matchups and you aren't in a giant pool? So that's nice. What I'm investigating for all of us. So if you're somebody that's here listening to this, trying to get more of a general NFL overview and you're trying to play some fantasy, that's a good show to listen to because it's going to be focused directly on your fantasy leagues as opposed to all that best ball stuff that everyone is talking about right now.
Yeah, I love stacking personally in a lot of my leagues. So if you're listening to this on June 27th, that America's game, I did a solo pod with the Best Ball Mania draft that I did, and I did a Tua, Tyreek, Waddle, Odell Beckham stack. So hopefully you got some good news for me.
Yeah, Best Ball Mania is a completely different animal than your general dynasty league. So that's what I'm Best Ball Mania, absolutely stack. Game stack, team stack, all that kind of stuff. All the data's there to show that is the way to win.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into this. The Arizona Cardinals, head coach Jonathan Gannon and their offensive coordinator is Drew Petzing. Both of those guys first year last year did really well for the little talent that they had on this roster. So it was pretty impressive with them. Key players who left this offseason, Rondale Moore, Hollywood Brown are both gone from this team. Targets and vacated air yards, 217 targets and 1,378 yards are gone from this team. So quarterbacks, Koopa, go ahead and fire off with the quarterbacks here for the Cardinals.
Yeah, so we've got Kyler Murray. Last season, PFF grade 70.8, 24th of 38, but that was also coming off of an ACL injury. So he came back about halfway through the year and took over for Josh Dobbs, who had been there for the first like 8 or 9 weeks, and he'd been an awesome asset for your fantasy teams. And then he got traded away in order to clear roster spot for Kyler to come back, and Clayton Toon got to have one start in the middle there, and really Clayton Toon did not impress very much. He did not look that good on the football field, and it was pretty obvious why Joshua Dobbs, like, he got traded to the Cardinals right before the season and he immediately started. So so definitely Clayton Toon is like a little iffy, and then they brought in Desmond Ridder. So they traded for him from the Atlanta Falcons, and I think that means entirely that Desmond Ridder is going to be the backup here in Arizona. I think he probably looks much better than Clayton Toon. He has definitely much more starting experience, so Desmond Ridder is the backup to own here. But Kyler Murray is not a bad quarterback in his own right. Now that he has a full offseason to fully get prepped for the upcoming season, he's going to be able to come in, and he should be quite effective. Right now he is listed in terms of fantasy purposes as QB9, but realistically, like, if you look at what he did last year, that could potentially even be a little bit better. So when he came in off his ACL, he was consistently hitting top 10 weeks and just over and over and over again, because he does have some legs. He is able to run the ball some, and he's kind of a little bit of an underrated quarterback in terms of that all-around ability that he has to be able to score with his legs as well as with his arm. And so I think he's a little bit muted by the fantasy community in that he could be pushing up there to be like quarterback six, quarterback seven on the year, even if like all of your Josh Allens, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, all that stay healthy.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed with Kyler, too, coming off the ACL, he didn't stop running. Like, you know, Dak Prescott, off of his injury a couple years ago, he stopped running. Kyler didn't stop running. I was kind of surprised by that a little bit. So I'm glad that he still has that a part of his offense of game here. Desmond Ridder, yeah, he's the backup, I guess. I mean, PFF grade last year, 51.9, he was 38th of 38. And then I talked about on RotoWire podcast this week, the guy asked me about, Desmond Ridder. And I was like, and he's like, yeah, he's got Marvin Harrison. He's got Trey McBride now, all this. I'm like, yeah, he just came off of having Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson and still sucked. So I just don't think Desmond Ridder is very good. I guess in a deeper league, or if you have Kyler Murray, I get holding on to Desmond Ridder. But personally, I just don't think he's any good. I'm not rostering him personally. Clayton Tune, probably the same thing. They kept two on their initial 53-man roster last year. So I could see them carrying Clayton Tune as a third, but if not, they could probably cut him and get him back. So we'll see what happens there. Running backs now. James Conner, his PFF grade last year was 89.2, fourth of 59 among running backs. So outstanding year from James Conner, guy that I definitely want some pieces of this year. They drafted Trey Benson from Florida State in the third round this year. Michael Carter, who they traded for from the Jets during the season last year. They signed DJ Dallas from the Seahawks. Amari DiMercato, who actually played quite a bit from them last year, an undrafted rookie from TCU. His PFF grade last year was actually 73.4, which was 29th of 59 among running backs. So DiMercato had a really good rookie season, and Tony Jones, a veteran backup from the Saints in Denver. They kept three running backs on their initial 53 roster last year. I'm thinking it's going to be four this year because they do have a lot of talent. Connor, Benson are locks. And then I would say DJ Dallas, because they signed him, is probably a lock. And then it's going to be come down to Carter and DiMercato for that last spot. So that's kind of how I'm viewing the running backs there. Real quick on Trey Benson from Dane Brugler. Overall, Benson's vision and run instincts tend to be spotty, but he runs hard off tackle with the burst and balance to stay afloat through contact. Cut in the Melvin Gordon mold, he projects best as part of an NFL committee in which he'd have any down and big play potential. His PFF grade last year was 84.2, 156 carries, 905 yards, 14 touchdowns, caught 20 balls on 24 targets for 227 yards. In a zone scheme, he was 72.7 grade, and a gap scheme, he was an 89.4. So those gap schemes, definitely going to be big for Trey Benson. That's where he succeeded the most. 551 yards after contact, which is 85th in the country, and 45 missed tackles for us, which is 71st in the country. What are your thoughts here on the running backs, Koopa?
Yeah, James Conner is one of those guys that's just like, until the wheels fall off, keep riding him. I mean, he took a huge value hit in terms of like what you needed to pay to get him last offseason, and then he heavily rewarded you if you invested in him. He did great for fantasy purposes. He did great for NFL purposes. I think the drafting of Trey Benson is more of to have a running back of the future, not necessarily because they want him to replace James Conner immediately. I think James Conner is still going to be effective. He's probably going to be the lead back in this backfield. And it's just going to be how long do his wheels keep going until he hits his age cliff and starts decreasing in efficiency and whatnot. So James Conner is one of those guys right now that if you can get him cheap, like if you can get him for a very late second or even like a couple thirds or something like that, like that's something I'm definitely interested in doing. Just because, especially with Trey Benson landing there, people are kind of getting a little skittish about James Conner's that veteran who might get outplayed and whatnot. Like he's still going to be solid for this team. So you have James Conner, Trey Benson, obviously he's going to be on the team. I think he has a slow start to his NFL career. I think he, year one, maybe towards the back half of the season, he'll be useful for fantasy, but at the beginning of the season, I don't think he's going to get enough touches. And then Michael Carter is a solid backup running back, in my opinion. And DJ Dallas, I think, makes the roster simply for kick returnings. I don't think he actually is going to be a running back. He's just going to be a running back in terms of the position value on hit next to his name. And unfortunately, that means Amari DiMarcado and Tony Jones, they kind of both get pushed out. So I think that's just kind of how this backfield plays out, is that you just see you see those four guys. DiMarcado, I think, is probably good enough to end up on the practice squad. And Tony Jones, he's bounced around a lot of different practice squads over his career. I think just he might end up getting cut off of Arizona's and picked up somewhere else.
Yep, I agree with a lot of that. Let's kick it over now to the wide receivers here. So obviously, first round pick Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be their stud on the outside. Michael Wilson, rookie last year, his PFF grade last year was 68.3, which was 57th of 128. Pretty solid rookie year for him. Zay Jones, his PFF grade last year in Jacksonville was a 61.2. 83rd of 128, dealt with a lot of injuries and some personal stuff, so he had one of his down years. Greg Dortch, a lot of people's favorites on this team, PFF grade of 68.2, 59th of 128 last year, so good year in a backup role for him. Chris Moore, his PFF grade last year was 64.9, 71st of 128. Zach Pascal is still there. Dan Chisna, Daniel Arias, Taewon Palmer, who they drafted in the sixth round this past season. Jeff Smith, Xavier Weaver, a 2024 UDFA out of Colorado, who I like, and Andre Baselia as well. They kept six wide receivers on their initial 53. And if I had to pick right now, I'm going to go Marvin Harrison, Michael Wilson, Zay Jones, Greg Dortch. I think those guys are pretty much locks. I would say Chris Moore is probably a pretty steady lock as well. I could see Pascal getting cut from either Taewon Palmer, or I really like Xavier Weaver from Colorado. I was kind of surprised that he didn't get drafted. So that's a guy I'm going to watch in preseason, because he's a kind of guy that could work the middle of the field. He's got good deep speed. You know, he obviously played there last year with Deion Sanders and Shadur Sanders in Colorado, and looked pretty impressive from the video that I watched. So I'm going to keep an eye on him. I think he has an outside shot to make it, but probably ends up on the practice squad. So I'll go Zach Pascal right now, just because Jonathan Gannon worked with him in Philadelphia, likes him a lot. That's why they brought him over. So I'm going to go that he gets that last veteran spot there. And then real quick here on Marvin Harrison. Overall, Harrison has dominant receiving traits and can win from anywhere on the field because of his athletic gifts, route savvy, and adjustment slash finishing skills at the catch point. He is among the best receiver prospects to enter the NFL in recent memory, and he has the dedication to his craft to be a playmaking number one NFL receiver and a future All Pro. 89.9 PFF grade, 67 catches, 114 targets. That just shows you how terrible Ohio State quarterbacks were. 1,211 yards, 14 touchdowns. He played on 366 pass snaps, 71 were in the slot, 292 outside. 82.6 versus man, 6 drops, which I think has a lot to do with the quarterback play as well. 6.4 yards after catch, which was 112th in the country. 13.1 ADOT, 157th in the country. And he had 15 for 598 on deep balls and 21 for 355 yards in the slot. Go ahead, Koopa, with your thoughts here on the wide receiver core.
Yeah, so Marvin Harrison Jr. is kind of interesting because right now, for fantasy purposes, he's listed as the wide receiver 11. And so coming in as a rookie, like, you don't see many guys finish up there, let alone be projected to finish up there. And I think that just partially has to do with how hyped Marvin Harrison Jr. is coming in this season. But it's one of those things where, because he is a rookie, because he's on a new team, like, he could finish better than this. He could also finish worse than this. And if you go back to the Like the rookie hit rate shows that Mike and Adam covered on the 4D pod. I think this was the shows toward in the month of May. So if you want to go back and listen to those, they go through the hit rates at various levels for players based on where they were drafted in the NFL draft. And Marvin Harrison Jr. needs to be in the top range of players in order to hit this being a top 12 wide receiver projection. He absolutely has the pedigree. He has all the expectations on the world for him to hit that. But you have to understand that you, even if you are betting on that, that you're still betting on an outlier. And luckily for us, Marvin Harrison Jr. seems like he is that kind of outlier. So just understand that's the kind of thing you're looking at with him. He is highly valued for a reason, but also understand that like you need to understand that you're going against what data usually says in his situation. Now, all the guys behind him, you've got your Michael Wilson, your Zay Jones, the Greg Dortch. Like those are my guess, the main three guys that are going to be behind Marvin Harrison Jr. And I don't think any of those guys are going to be terribly useful in a lineup league unless Marvin Harrison Jr. is not as good at the NFL level as we thought. From what we've seen, Kyler Murray is able to find some of his other wide receivers when he needs to. But if Marvin Harrison Jr. can be a target hog, it should cause Michael Wilson to maybe be like a flex guy that you can flex like when you have buys going on and injuries in the middle of the season, that kind of stuff. But you don't really want to be relying on him. And then the same thing will go doubly so with Zay Jones and especially Greg Dortch. I agree with you, Eric. Chris Moore, I think, is the fifth wide receiver. And then maybe they keep a sixth guy of a Taewon Palmer or Xavier Weaver. I personally don't think Zach Pascal is going to make the roster this year, but he has made it in previous years quite a few times. So maybe he just is in the good graces of the Arizona staff there and they like him for whatever reason or something along those lines. But I could also see this team just deciding to keep five wide receivers. I don't feel like they necessarily need that sixth wide receiver on the opening 53-man roster, and they could easily send a couple of these guys to the practice squad if they wanted to have them still around.
All right, now looking at the tight ends here for the Cardinals, Trey McBride, obviously a second-year guy that really popped last year. His PFF grade last year was 76.3, which was 7th of 72 among tight ends. They drafted Tip Reiman in the third round from Illinois. Elijah Higgins, who was a rookie last year with Miami, then got cut, signed with the Cardinals, and actually had a couple decent games down the stretch last year. Travis Vokolek, Blake Whitehart, and Bernard Sikovits is their other tight end. They kept four on their initial 53 roster last year. I think it's probably only going to be three this year. I'm going to go with McBride, Tip Reiman, and probably Elijah Higgins here. Just real quick on Tip Reiman. Overall, Reiman's inexperience as a pass catcher and blocker is apparent, but he shows promise in both areas and should continue to improve with additional coaching. He will be targeted by 11 personnel offenses looking for a developmental YF tight end and special teamer. His PFF grade last year was 60.1, 19 catches, 24 targets, 203 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Played 340 pass snaps, 211 in line, and 111 in the slot, 0 drops, and a 5.5 yak. What do you got here on the tight ends, Koopa?
So I think that Trey McBride, obviously top tight end that you want, is the tight end 3 for fantasy purposes. You want that 100%. Tip Reiman, I think, is going to be somebody that could kind of get involved here and there, but he's not somebody that I'm really expecting to be someone that that is going to be getting a lot of snaps, be getting a lot of work, especially with just how good Trey McBride is for this team. And then not only does he have to fight against Trey McBride in order to like just even get on the field, he also needs to fight with Elijah Higgins. Elijah Higgins was somebody I was really excited for last year, and the Cardinals went out of their way to, when Miami cut him, I assume they were planning to bring him in on their practice squad, and Arizona actually claimed him off of waivers. So it wasn't like they let him go onto their practice squad and then re-signed him off that. Like, no, they said this person, we want him on our team that badly. And so they scooped up Elijah Higgins. And then Elijah Higgins, as you said, towards the end of the year, he ended up having some good games. He started to get involved with this team as like a number two tight end who was seeing the field a decent amount. So I think Tip Reman is going to have a little bit of struggles in order to even just see a decent snap share, especially to be useful in fantasy. So it'll just be interesting to see how exactly this shakes out. But I think those three are definitely on the team. And I wouldn't be surprised to see they decide to keep four again, and then to see Blake Whitehart make the team as well. We saw him get promoted to the active roster halfway through last season, and then they kept him around the whole time. They kept him around weeks 8 through 18. From my understanding, he was somebody that was coming out and more of that when they needed somebody in a little bit more of a blocking role, and so he was doing that. And with the fact that Elijah Higgins is a converted wide receiver to tight end, Tip Reman is somebody that he's not as good at blocking. Like, I could see Blake Whitehart having that extra year of experience, being a little bit more of a blocking type tight end, is somebody that they want to keep around in order for maybe some of those more, hey, we're trying to do a heavy package kind of place.
All right, let's take a look now at the offensive line from last year real quick. So they rated 25th in the league last year. I think they got a couple little upgrades this year that I think are going to make them a little bit better, hopefully more closer to average. So left tackle is now going to be Paris Johnson Jr., their first round pick from last season. He played at right tackle last season. His PFF grade last year was 60.1, which was 57th of 81, not spectacular, but he did get better as the season went on, and now he's converting over to left tackle where he played in college and is expected to be their left tackle of the future. Kelvin Beachum is his backup. Evan Brown right now is the left guard. His PFF grade last year was 55.7, and that was at center he played last year, and he was 27th of 36 at center, but right now slated in as a left guard. They also drafted Isaiah Adams in the third round, so I'm thinking it's going to be a competition here in camp. So Brugler on Isaiah Adams. Overall, Adams' play style sets him up to be out-leveraged, but his natural size, strength, and mobility, along with the competitive makeup, are the ingredients teams desire in a mid-round developmental lineman. He projects as a backup guard with the potential to be more with continued coaching. So we'll see how Adams performs there in training camp. Elijah Frohort is their center right now. His PFF grade last year was 64.1, 19th of 36, and Tristan Colwin is his backup. Right guard is Will Hernandez, the former Giants offensive lineman. His PFF grade last year was 66.2, 22nd of 79 among guards. I'm sure the Giants are missing having him. They should have brought him back. Elijah Wilkinson is his backup. And then the right tackle they brought in this year is Jonah Williams, the former first-round pick of the Bengals. His PFF grade last year was only 58.5, 59th of 81 among tackles. So not very good. Still has quite a bit of talent there, so we'll see if Arizona can get it out of him. And then also in the fifth round this year, they drafted Christian Jones. Some highlights here on Jones. Overall, Jones is a high cut with signs of stiffness in his movements, but he is a strong at contact and maintains his feel on first and second level blocks, allowing him to finish his man with punishing hands. He projects best as an NFL swing tackle and a team's third offensive tackle. So probably, you know, kind of in that same spot right there in the swing tackle spot. Kick returners, punt returners are pretty easy on this one. Koopa, I'll let you go ahead with them.
Yeah, they have DJ Dallas, who did all of the kick returns and punt returns for the Seattle Seahawks last year, and Greg Dortch, who did all the kick returns and punt returners for the Arizona Cardinals last year. The fact that they went out of their way to sign DJ Dallas and bring him in makes me think that maybe they weren't entirely happy with Greg Dortch, or maybe they were just trying to get ahead on the new kick return rules or something like that. So I would not. If I would had to project right now, I am 50-50 on DJ Dallas versus Greg Dortch for primary kick returner, for punt returner. They might even do a split depending on how the game is going. Maybe that they have different styles or something like that. Maybe it switches by team. I don't know. But they are both quite good at kick returns and punt returns. So if I want them. I want to own them both if I have a league that gives a lot of points to those guys, but I don't necessarily see either of them being the kind of person that if you just have a small little bonus, like maybe it's 20 yards per point or something like that, you don't really need to own those guys because they aren't going to do anything else on the field.
And then our final thoughts here on the Cardinals. So Kyler Murray, I think he's, showed the rushing ability coming off the ACL. So I think he's still going to be a top 10-ish type quarterback here for fantasy purposes. With his rushing ability, obviously he's got Marvin Harrison and Trey McBride to throw to. James Conner did really well last year. I'm still expecting Conner to be at least an RB2 for you. If not, he can probably sneak in as an RB1 at times. Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean, we honestly don't know, but that guy should be set up to have 120, 150 targets this year, easy. So I'm excited for Marvin Harrison Jr. I do think, like you were kind of talking about earlier, he is like a turn pick at the 1-2 turn in a lot of these drafts right now. Is that like too high? Are we taking him at his absolute ceiling? But if you want to own him, that's where he's going. And then Michael Wilson and Zay Jones, I think those guys can be decent complementary pieces. And then Trey McBride had such a good season last year. This offensive coordinator loves using tight ends, so I think Trey McBride, easy top five tight end this year in fantasy.
Yeah, I think you want you're really interested in four guys on this team: Kyler Murray, James Conner, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Trey McBride, and they're all probably going to be really good for you. So you can't go wrong with any of those guys. They can all be people that are they're in your lineup consistently week after week, and everyone else, it's much more fringe, especially when you're talking Trey Benson, when you're talking Michael Wilson. Those are the two main other guys that I would consider as like, hey, you might want these guys on your team. But yeah, that's the outlook for this team. You want those four guys, they're all going to be good, if not towards the top of their position.
All right, well, that is going to wrap it up here for the Arizona Cardinals on this one. We will be back next with the Los Angeles Rams.